Well, we do thank our dear Sister Carl for bringing that further message in song. Thank the Lord for such a beautiful voice and the message of such lovely pieces, and we pray that the Lord will bless them to us, and that we'll all remember that his ways are higher than ours. And that's a thought you need to take on board if you're not saved tonight. The ways of the Lord are higher than your ways, sinner. And he poses questions to your heart and mind that you cannot ignore. He poses questions to your soul that you must answer. And as we open the word tonight, there are some questions for you. And we pray that the Lord will bring these questions home to you by the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Carl. Thank you for being with us and for singing those pieces to us. The Lord bless you in your ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we bow in a moment's prayer and ask the Lord's blessing upon his word as he has given it to us? Our Father, we thank thee for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for his promise, "Surely I come quickly." And we pray now as we open the book, Father, as we peruse its pages and as we hear the message that thou hast given, that thou wouldst come in power, that thou wouldst move from soul to soul, encourage thy children in their anticipation of the great day of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that thou wouldst bring holy fear and conviction to those who are lost and who know not thee. The preacher cannot have this effect. Yet, Lord, I pray that thou wouldst come in holy power by the Spirit, that thou wouldst infill me with thy power and attend the preaching of the word, I pray of thee, in the name and for the sake and glory of thy dear Son, the blessed Lamb of God. Amen. In the time that remains, we want to consider and pay attention to the last words of the 27th verse of the portion that we read together a little earlier. And those words are, "So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." It must have been a most blessed experience to sit under the ministry directly, face to face, of the Lord Jesus Christ, the preacher. Whether it was to the thousands upon the hillsides or along the fields, when he proclaimed matters such as the kingdom of heaven for the poor in spirit, the spirit of comfort to those that mourn, or that blessing to all of his faithful servants, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake," or also to the ones or twos along the way, on the road to Emmaus, for example, those whose hearts burned within them as he talked with them by the way, opening to them the scriptures, or to individuals like the Samaritan woman at the well, who had to exclaim to her companions and to her neighbors, "Come see a man who told me all things ever I did." Or when he said, "Be not faithless, but believing," to doubting Thomas, who looked upon the pierced hands and side and feet of the Lord Jesus Christ before him and exclaimed in humility, "My Lord and my God." Now, in three verses of the passage that we read, we see the Lord Jesus Christ make a very strong point to his listeners as he spoke to them and as he brought to them a word of prophetical discourse concerning the time of his return to this world, which of course was a shock to his disciples, who really did not even want to contemplate the fact that he was going to leave them in any place never mind think about that he was going to come again. And the Lord, in making this discourse, is bringing a very important point to all his listeners, that this scene of time will end. It will not go on forever. That there are matters that are set in place, set in a certain order. And he impresses it three times in the passage that we read. I wonder, did you notice that in verse 27 and in 37 and in 39, the Lord said, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And we hear in our passage that we read together a divine sermon, the certainty of those things that shall in due and appointed time come to pass. The Lord here, whilst he's speaking to his disciples and speaking to no doubt those who did not care for him that were around him, he assures us of the certainty of those things which in Scripture are ordered to come to pass in due and appointed time. It does not come more starkly and indeed more alarmingly, especially to those who are unsaved and therefore not ready for that day, when the Lord said in verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away. This saying that when the day of Jesus Christ suddenly comes, then all of time will be ended. Earth as we know it shall cease. The heavens shall fold up like a curtain. And the day of judgment will be upon the unsaved, with Christ the judge prevailing over all things. My friend, that day is coming. That day is a sure day. Dear unsaved man and woman, have you thought about it? That one day all that we experience upon this earth, all the days of your life, all the days of history, all the days that God has planned and only he knows about in advance, will be ended. Heaven and earth shall pass away. And I want you to think, my friend, I want to alarm you that there is a sureness about this day. And as we notice, firstly, the sureness of this prophecy spoken of the Lord in that day, he declared, my words shall not pass away. What power and authority there is in this statement. It says to us clearly that the word of the Lord Jesus Christ is more sure and lasting than even heaven and earth themselves. That when Christ speaks, then surely he will do all things that he has spoken, all things that he has promised, all things that he has indicated will surely come to pass. And the word of Christ, whether they were uttered and recorded here in this blessed book, or were the word of the Lord Jesus Christ as they are preached faithfully by God's servants week in and week out, they are sure, they are true, and they can be depended upon greater than the pillars of heaven or the strong foundations of earth. Because as we take it, as the Lord Jesus Christ has said in this passage, both these entities one day shall be made to tremble and totter, and then they shall pass away, and only the word of Christ shall remain, and not only remain, but shall be in all of their eternal force and power and virtue. In 1 Peter and the chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, it says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Yes, it's easier for heaven and earth to pass than the word of Christ to pass away. So as it is expressed and confirmed in Luke chapter 16 and the verse 17, where it says, and it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. The accomplishment of these prophecies, brethren and sisters, and all who listen on, it might seem to be delayed in view of the circumstances of the world, in view of the sciences of this world, the so-called knowledge and the pronouncements of celebrated academics, yea, even television celebrities. But unsaved man and woman, boy and girl, do not think that therefore the word of Christ is fallen to the ground. For his word, as we have heard, as you have heard in your ears this night, his word shall not fail, it shall not pass away. Though it is yet unfulfilled, yet in God's time, which is the best time, and in God's way, which is the best way, it shall certainly be fulfilled. Every word of Christ is very pure and therefore very sure. And maybe you're sitting already, dear unsaved man or woman, young boy or young girl, and you're saying, preacher, listen, don't worry about me. I'll be okay. You know, I'll get saved well before that day will arrive. Don't worry about me. I have to ask you, how do you know? How do you know? You do not know when that day will come, when the day of your opportunity to be saved will end. Because make no mistake about it, when the day of the Lord arrives, when the trumpet sounds and time is no more, the day of gospel opportunity will be gone forever in an instant. And that's why the Bible says, you know, with the same power and authority that declares that his word shall not pass away, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. There's no room for waiting, no room for deferring. And you don't know, my friend, when you'll have had your last opportunity to be saved. So I said about questions, and the first of them comes, how will it be for you? What position in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ and his claims upon your soul when the skies part and the trumpet blasts and the sign of the Son of Man appears in the sky? How will it be for you? Because the gospel opportunity at that very instant will be gone, gone forever for you. No chance then to repent. No opportunity to call upon the name of the Lord. The demarcation that God has set will happen. How will it be for you in that day? And what is his promise, my friend, if you come to him? If you make it in good time, if you say, yes, now is my accepted time, now is the day when I must get saved, the promise, as it shows us in Isaiah chapter 54, it says, therefore the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. Lord Jesus says, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. And in those words, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, indicates to you that now are the days of opportunity. And my friend, tonight is a day of mercy towards your soul, if you would but accept the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has done for you upon Calvary's tree. And I say that because the passage we have read together shows that there is a secrecy about that day. And I say secrecy not about its application, but about the knowledge of its planned arrival. We do not believe in secret raptures or silent raptures or anything being done in that way. It's not in the scriptures. It's not there. It's not biblical. But let me tell you that the day and the hour of the Lord's return is known only by God. It says in verse 36 of that passage we read, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man." And we see here there is a certain day, an appointed day, appointed by God, that time when earth and heaven will end as the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again. It is a day set in the eternal pages of God's diary. And my friend, it's on its way. Time is getting short. Getting short for you. So how can you be so sure that beyond this evening hour, you will have any further opportunity to settle once and for all the matter of your soul's salvation? How can you know? You see, it's said in our passage, the angels don't even know when this day will come. Only the Father. And verse 42 sets out a further warning. It says, "Watch therefore." Watch. And there's a thought of carefulness. Carefulness about your soul. Watch therefore. And that's because there is that uncertainty of the time of Christ's coming. But to those of us who are saved and are watchful, it is a savor of life unto life. And it makes us more watchful, more anticipating of that day when we shall look into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and hung upon Calvary's tree and bore in his hands the nail prints and in his feet and had his side riven. And he bore it all for us. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ ascended and left this earth, the sign of his leaving was in the nail-pierced hands. And when he comes again, what will it that will be seen? We will look up, brethren and sisters, and we will see the nail-pierced hands of our redemption. But if you're unsaved tonight, the anticipation of that day will be a savor of death unto death. And rather than making you more watchful, it will make you more careless. Careless about your soul. And it's recognized the Lord Jesus Christ knows you and he knows your heart. And he places there another warning at the verse 44. Listen to it. Therefore, be ye also ready. You have to be ready. You have to prepare. And the only way to be prepared is to recognize your position as a helpless sinner. That in the nostrils of God is the stench of your offense against him. And the only way to be prepared, having recognized that, is to realize that Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." In him, my dear friend, is your only hope. The only way of preparation to be ready for the day when the Son of Man comes back again. Not only is there the sureness of that day and the secrecy of that day when it shall happen, but there is the surprise of it. It will take you unawares. Listen, it will come suddenly. And it's alluded to in this passage. In fact, it's more than alluded to. It's stated very clear for you and for us all. And to bring it on, I'd ask you another question. Did you ever, in a rainstorm, look out of your window and watch out over a dark, cloud-filled sky? And did you ever try to anticipate about when and from where the bolt of lightning would strike and go to earth? Or it would flash from the east to the west? Were you able ever to anticipate it with exact accuracy so that you could depend upon it? It's going to flash now. It's a great example given by the Lord Jesus Christ when he says at verse 27, in a further warning to your soul, dear sinner, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. It'll be a great surprise. It will come suddenly. Here is the indication of the imminency of that day of judgment, which will come suddenly. Those who sleep in their sinfulness will be startled and awakened. And it will be a surprising day. It will be a day of deep regret. It will be a day of panic. And the Lord gives us the example again of those who suddenly found themselves up to the shoulders in water, and the rain falling in torrents from the sky, bubbling up out of the earth, and the ark's door was shut, and only Noah and his wife and their sons and their wives were saved alone. And I say to you, to be prepared for the coming of the Lord, you need to be trusting in him who is the ark of your soul, and not leave yourself open to that suddenness and that surprise that will come when the skies rend. Lord Jesus, in his parting words, an encouragement to his people, and yet in another warning to those who would be outside of his claims upon them. Surely I come quickly, he said. I come surely. It can be read. There's no doubt about it. This declaration obliges us to expect him. Surely I come quickly. I take it a wee bit further. It obliges us, my friend, to be always expecting him. Always expecting him. Always listening to the gospel. Always accepting that weight of the Spirit of God upon your soul, bringing that conviction over your sin, dealing with your unbelief of a precious Savior, man's unbelief in Jesus Christ shall not make that great promise to the saints null and void, that he's coming again, that he's coming quickly. Or it's threatening to the unsaved of no effect. Unbelief will not save you in that day. You can't wish it away. It can't be thought away. It can't be pushed into the background as if it's not going to happen. Listen, the Lord's word, which shall not pass away, says, surely I come quickly. So also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Oh, there's a sureness and a secrecy and a surprise. My friend, there is a separation on that day. Later on in that chapter, did you notice? It talked of the two in the field, the one that shall be taken and the one left. The two women grinding at the mill, the one taken and the one left, indicating the great separation of that day. And you see, those who belong to Christ will be taken to meet him in the air. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall go to meet him in the air. But those who are left, and I wonder, my friend, will that include you, will be left to the judgment and to perish in their unbelief. I ask you another question: on which side of that divide will you be? Unless all are in Christ, then there will be a multitude of instances where a dreadful separation must and will take place. Are you an unsaved husband tonight, for whom a dear, faithful wife has prayed for many years? Are you a loving wife yet unsaved, and you haven't taken the leading of the head of your home, your husband, who desires so much that you would put your hand in the hand of his Savior? Are you an unsaved young person, and your parents have brought you up faithfully in the fear and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and yet you continue to reject him? Are you prepared, young person, to see your parents go away into heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, and then to face him yourself as your judge? Would you not rather have him as your friend and go to heaven with your godly parents? I wonder what will be your separation on that day. I don't have time to go into the severity of that day. I think that separation from loved ones, those of our families who are unsaved, to see them going away into utter destruction and darkness and a Christless eternity, how awful for those who know not Christ and are outside of him on that day. And you know that there's a company that has just departed from you, and they're away to everlasting bliss and everlasting life, to sing the song of Moses and of the Lamb. And then comes the awful realization for you that you have marched yourself through the very gates of hell. That's the other destination in this separation. That day is coming. It's sure. As sure as the Lord's words will never pass away. I'm glad as I close I can bring you to the security of that day. And I go back to those words that we opened with: my words shall not pass away. And in security and in hope for you, my unsaved friend, what does the Lord's word say to you? It says this: him or her that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. What an opportunity! What a day of mercy! What an evening of opportunity for your soul this night! The Lord says, I never cast them away. I will not cut them asunder. I will not separate them from myself. I will not separate them from heaven and glory. They are mine. I have bought them with the price of a perfect life and a vicarious death, a substitutionary sacrifice. I have bought them in my own blood. Is that not a better position, my friend, to be in Christ to have security tonight against that great day of judgment that will come. What does God's word say to you? They have believed on me, and him that believe in me shall never perish. Sinner, here is your eternal hope and expectation in the words of Jesus Christ himself, the only one who is the way to God in heaven, who is the truth, who cannot and will not lie, and who is the life that you so badly need. Eternal life to you and for you. His word says, listen carefully, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Heaven and earth will pass away. Christ's word will never fail. And in him, you will never see hell, but you'll see heaven, and you'll worship him and serve him for all eternity. If you would come to the one who pleads with your heart, who pleads with your very soul this night, and who says to you, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, listen, shall never die. And the verse there in John's Gospel, chapter 11, ends with the last question, where the Lord Jesus Christ asks, believest thou this? May you do so. Do so before the lightning comes, the sky's rent, and your day of opportunity is finished. May the Lord bless his precious truth to all our hearts. Shall we bow in prayer? Our God and our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the time that we have spent in your presence. We thank thee for the forthrightness and the loveliness of thy word. Yet, Lord, there is a terribleness about it. Lord, particularly if there are those who would perhaps once again recognize the end of the meeting, shut out the claims of thy Holy Spirit upon their souls, and walk out of the doors without accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Heavenly Father, that thou would arrest souls in the power of the Holy Ghost this night, that you would break the chains that bind, bring the prisoner out of the prison house, and may all here who are unsaved be ready against that great day. We pray it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, praying that thou wilt go with us. Bless the meeting that is about to happen amongst the lady folk and the men as they would go to prayer. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the fellowship of God the Holy Ghost, be the portion of all who are his own, both now and forevermore. Amen.